So we're hot. I'm missing co-hosts and guests. So I got a new guest. I got a new guest to us, I guess. He's going to be around Gohan. He's going to be in the brand new archery shop. So I asked Cody Frick. I get your last name right?
Yep.
People probably love to have fun with that one, huh?
Yeah, they enjoyed that, especially in school.
I bet. I asked Cody to jump on the podcast with me today. Lorenzo's up hunting ducks, I believe. And I think Brady and Lane that work here are in Colorado hunting elk. And I haven't heard from them. Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything.
So those guys are out rifle hunting elk. I'm leaving today for Arizona. So I got my truck fully loaded. I got the ATV on the back. I'm like trying to close all the loopholes. There's so many. I'm getting worse at this over the years. Like you're supposed to get better at it as far as like your packing goes. You know, you're supposed to be like that much more prepared and ready to go.
Right.
I swear I'm getting worse at it. And it's to the point where like last night, my kids were like, "Oh, are you excited about your hunt?" And I was like, "Well, I want to be." I'm just like so stressed. I just have so much to do. It feels like to like get ready to go, but. Yeah, I got the ATV loaded in the trailer and everything. So as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to hit the road and head south. So meet up with Neville tomorrow and then hopefully we can find some bulls. But I was looking at the weather. It's supposed to, and this is Arizona, right? It's like Arizona, November. I mean, I would expect like some cool weather, but like, you know, mostly dry, I would think for the most part. I was looking, it's supposed to start raining the 14th, which is opening day, and it's supposed to not quit until the 20th. Nice. In a couple of days, it's calling for a full half inch, which is a decent amount of rain for that country, you know? So I might be glad that I have the ATV, but it looks like I'm going to be sitting in the rain most of the time.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that.
Yep. Before we get going, I'm going to hit promo, so we'll get that out of the way. You guys can use the promo code PODCAST. You can sign up for a new Go Hunt Insider membership. If you do that, you're going to get $50 back in the Go Hunt gear shop, and you can use that towards the purchase of any gear that you want in the shop. It's a great time of year to start diving in, doing some research, get prepared for the new draw in Idaho, which is coming up, I think, the 5th of December. I think you got like the 5th through the 10th, maybe. Might even be the 15th. But basically, you're going to have to apply there as a non-resident now to pick up those general season permits. But it's a great time to like make your list, do your research, and get prepared, know what you have to do to actually apply for that. And then it just gets progressively more important to you as you start into application season in the spring. So use that promo code PODCAST, sign up for membership, get yourself 50 points back in the shop, which is a big, I mean, $50 in the shop. Do you know if people can use their credit towards the purchase of a new bow?
I don't know how the Go Hunt, I guess,
the point system works.
Yeah. I got to talk to them about that.
Yeah.
Still. I'm supposed to have a phone call, but.
Yeah. I don't know how that works either, but today's like it feels to me like I've known this has been coming. I knew that we were going to open a pro shop, a bow shop. I think since I started working here, being that I'm kind of an archery nerd and, you know, I love to shoot and I like to bow hunt, it's always been kind of in the back of my mind is like, hey, we should have a bow shop here, you know? It just felt like a natural progression of things, and I was super excited about it, and then I didn't know that it would ever like come to fruition, but I was really excited to see that we like finally put it into works. And once we did, like it came pretty quick. It felt like to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we hired you on, but today's a big day. It feels like today is like the launch day for, you know, Matthews, launch day for Hoyt. Yeah.
Sorry.
I just turned mine off. we'll let you grab that. But I heard through the grapevine that Prime is also launching a bow today.
Prime is launching today.
Yep.
Put that on silent.
Yep. So I would say today is like a big day, and it feels like it's kind of like the kickoff today for the opening of the bow shop, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's.
Go ahead.
I thought it was kind of odd that they all did it the same day. Usually it doesn't happen, right?
No.
Yeah.
Usually it feels like it's a little bit more staggered.
Yeah. Especially for a smaller company to kind of launch the same day as two of the big ones.
Yeah. Maybe that's an indication that they're not really talking to each other. You wouldn't think that they would all want to launch on the exact same day.
That's true.
But yeah, it's kind of fun though. I mean, I know that I shouldn't have been, you know, cruising the web as I was driving down, but I was, you know, reading up on the new Hoyts, and then I haven't seen the new Prime yet. It didn't look like it had quite launched yet, but then also just looking at like all the flood of videos that inevitably hit the web and social media when new bows are launched. So I've just been kind of watching that and monitoring it. But I want to get into you personally, like how you mm-hmm. came to us. Where you from? Where are you from?
From Minnesota originally.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I moved out to Colorado a handful of years ago.
Okay.
So I was there for like 5-ish years. And then, yeah, moved here in August.
Does Brady know you're from Minnesota?
Yeah, I told him when I met him.
I was going to say. Yep. Yeah.
I didn't know he was either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have... Did you grow up close to each other at all?
I think he was like more west. I was like southeast corner, so...
Okay.
Kind of like Iowa-Wisconsin border.
Gotcha. Did you grow up hunting?
Yeah.
Really?
Whitetails.
Is this kind of like burning your system that you're here in Vegas right now. During the absolute prime time?
Minnesota gun season started last weekend too, so I've been getting all sorts of pictures and stuff from everyone back home. So
gotcha.
Yeah,
did your dad hunt? Your family? Is that kind of how it came to you?
Yeah, yeah. I'd say more so my brothers for like the bow hunting side of things, but yeah, like obviously starts with dad.
Do you got older brothers?
Mm-hmm, two of them.
And they both got into bow hunting?
Yep.
How young?
I don't know. I mean, I was like, I don't even remember my first bow. Probably, I mean, as soon as you can start hunting, basically.
Really?
Yeah.
Bow hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always...
I think we had to be like 12-ish in Minnesota when I was a kid.
Okay.
So around there.
To start bow hunting?
Mm-hmm.
You probably started... Did you start with compound?
Or I started with the Matthews MQ1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So the first modern compound bow that I ended up getting was a Matthews Q2.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if the Q2 was prior to the MQ1 or not. It might've been.
Yeah. I think it might've been.
Yeah. It might've been. Yeah. It's a long time ago. That is one thing. Did you watch, I think they just recently released it, but it's a Matthews YouTube video. They did, Joe Sir. Do you know Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Does some, media stuff with them, video and pictures and, photo stuff, but did you watch that hunt with his kid?
I don't remember if I watched that one.
It's really good. Like it just barely came out probably within the last 2 weeks, I want to say. But
it was the deer hunting one. Yeah. I did watch that.
Yeah. His kid
got drawn back and then couldn't shoot on that one.
Yeah. Couldn't quite get it drawn back. And then just like the emotion in him and the disappointment in him. And then, ended up sitting in the stand and was able to get his bow back and made a perfect shot on that buck.
Yeah.
That is one thing. Like I really, it feels like Western big game hunting is hard. It's hard for me, mm-hmm. like bow hunting. And then to like consider taking a 12-year-old mm-hmm. out in that kind of environment and like getting them within that 15-yard range on a mule deer or an elk or something like that seems so hard. That is one thing I'm like, I feel really envious for some of those Midwesterners and Easterners that you can, you know, park them in a tree stand and you have like it feels like a little bit more controlled environment. Right.
Right.
But so you started hunting when you were 12.
Yeah.
With a bow.
I mean, around there, it was early on. I mean, I think with a gun, 12 was the rule in Minnesota at the time. I don't know what it is now, but
do you remember the first deer you killed with a bow?
It took me a while.
Did you miss your first deer?
I did. I missed a buck. My first shot at a buck, I missed it.
Really?
it was a nice buck too. Unfortunately, really? Yeah. Dang. My first deer was a doe with mm-hmm. a bow. Just get one under the belt, right?
Yeah.
But then I got a pretty good one, in North Dakota actually.
Okay.
A few years after that, but
so you guys were traveling to hunt then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go out to North Dakota too and hunt whitetails out there.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a cool opportunity. I'm envious of those opportunities to like, you know, state hop in some of those corner states and hunt whitetail in multiple states.
Yeah.
How old were you? Do you remember?
For my buck?
Yeah.
It actually, like I said, it took me quite a while. I was, I don't remember. I was over 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Number of years you stayed at it.
Yeah. Kind of picky with the game too, like not shooting the younger deer.
Even as a youth, like mm-hmm. as a kid, you were trying to.
I shot a little buck with a shotgun.
Okay.
Yeah.
But with a bow, you were trying to be a bit more selective, even as a kid, huh?
Yeah.
Is that your dad talking to you in your ear?
More so my brothers, I think.
Oh, really? Did you have deer that you were like, I want to shoot that buck, but I know my brothers would give me a hard time.
So some. I mean, they weren't like too picky on me, like too hard on me, but just like playing. That's how it was back when I was growing up, I guess, is letting the young deer get a little more mature.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you want a bigger buck too, right?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know if I could pass him up though as a kid.
Right. Yeah.
Like first buck walks in, I'm probably, yeah. I mean, the only whitetail I've ever shot was probably a 2 year old. So
yeah. Yeah. I passed some with a gun too when I was young, and they're like, you just got to shoot one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to shoot one before you start doing this.
Yeah.
So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Were you guys, do you remember did you say your first bow was an MQ1?
Yeah.
Did you buy that from like a local pro shop? Mm-hmm. Do you remember like the whole process?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I bought it on the used rack.
Okay.
It was just across the border in Wisconsin. We had a shop.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, bought it on the used rack. I remember getting it set up. I don't remember everything about it, but yeah, I remember shooting it and getting like the peep height lined up and all that fun stuff.
What kind of draw weight do you remember?
Oh gosh, it had to be pretty light. Down, I don't know what they had it set at the time.
40 maybe?
Yeah, it had to be pretty light.
Do you remember what kind of sight you had on it?
Just a cheap fixed pin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have anything fancy.
My first one was Trophy Ridge.
And yeah, Trophy Ridge.
It had the five pins, but they were all the vertical inline.
Yeah.
That was like my first modern fiber optic sight that you could actually see pins and stuff. Prior to that, I was shooting my dad's bow that had brass pins with like the little knobs on the end, you know? Yeah. And some of them he would take like a highlighter, you know, and he'd paint them out like a whiteout.
Yeah.
People don't use, I bet whiteout doesn't even exist anymore. Right. You think? I bet it doesn't. But yeah, he would white a pin out or two just to like differentiate between them. And you know, you could see it pretty good on a dark surface, but
yeah.
Anything lighter, a lot of sunlight, it just disappeared.
Yeah. I think the first sight I actually upgraded to was that one of the Trophy Ridges, the one when they got the React.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could just...
A mover?
Yeah, you could... Well, it was still fixed pins, mm-hmm. but you could sight in your 30, and then everything else would hypothetically fall into place to, like, 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it work?
I mean, at the time, I think it worked, but I didn't... Yeah. I didn't shoot my bow as much as I shoot now.
Yeah. Have you seen this new sight? It's a new, like a newer company. I think it's, might be Signal.
The one that moves the bottom pin with the.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. It's a slider sight, and it looks like it's a two pin the way I understand it. And, I had some correspondence with the guy that's like involved with it. And I apologize if he's listening. I don't know that I got back to him. I think it seems like I ended up getting gone hunting or something. Yeah. I should probably revisit that in my email, but essentially the way I understand it is you have two pins, and as you dial your sight, your second pin adjusts at a 10 yard increment as you go. So, you know, if you got it sighted in your top pin at 20, your second would be 30. And then as you dial, it just maintains that 10 yard gap. So that you've always got that same consistent gap between the two pins, which is an interesting idea. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if you could put that like in a multi-pin, like a 3 or 5 pin,
right,
and maintain that gap. Like that would be pretty dope, I think.
I saw a video on it, or like an ad almost, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a horizontal?
Or was it vertical? I think it's a vertical pin. I think it's vertical? A vertical too. I want to say.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
kind of neat though.
Yeah.
It's always fun this time of year just to see what people are tinkering with and putting out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some new ideas.
Yeah. Were you guys doing your own bow tuning? When did that kind of get going for you?
Honestly, not till, like, I wouldn't say I dove down like more of like an archery rabbit hole until I moved to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So only like a handful of years that I've been like deep into like the tuning side of thing and everything.
What sucked you in?
I think just shooting my bow more, having the weather to go outside and shoot.
It's probably pretty cold in Minnesota outside in the winter. Yeah. Huh?
But yeah, once I moved to Colorado, I had some friends too out there that I met that shot bows. So I just started shooting a lot more.
Yeah. How often do you shoot?
Probably every day.
Really? Yeah. You like it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good, just a kind of stress reliever just to go shoot your bow.
Yeah. I think it's I've said it ad nauseum, but it's like my very favorite hobby. I don't know if you call it a hobby, a sport or whatever you call it, but
yeah.
Man, if I don't get to shoot my bow of a day, like usually it's in the morning. So get out of bed, run the dog, get my kids off to school, drive up to the local range, hit that maybe 7:38 in the morning, shoot till 9:30, get back, get settled in, go to work. That like that hour, maybe hour and a half if I stretch it, but it's like my very favorite time of the day just to like fling arrows and think and forget about everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something like super therapeutic about it. And it's just fun. Mm-hmm. I have been thinking recently though, I don't know how many years I've been doing this. I lived in Cedar City, I think for, I want to say 16 years because my middle kid just turned 16 and we moved there when he was about a month old. But that's probably my very favorite thing about Cedar City is they have this archery club. They got two ranges, one in the lower canyon and then one in the upper. It's nice targets and everything. You got 14 up canyon, 14 down. And it's one of my very favorite things. But yeah, without that hour, hour and a half of a day, it's just like my day does not feel right.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing. I was thinking though, like of all the years I've been doing that, it's like sometimes I'll get pretty good about keeping score and like tracking progress over time. I get more finicky about it when I'm like setting up a bow, right? Because I want to get the thing to shoot as accurate as I can get it. So I'm like paying more attention to it when I'm adding weight or changing angles of a bar or something like that or sighting in pins. But I was thinking the other day, I was like, man, I really need to be like more diligent about just tracking and shooting for score just because I want to see if I'm improving or, you know, getting worse. Mm-hmm. Feels like I'm getting worse. I don't know if that's just like eyesight or age, you know, tennis elbow or whatever it might be, but I need to be better at tracking it. Do you shoot 3D? Do you anything like that?
I mean, I've never like shot like competition. Yeah. I shoot like a couple local shoots in Colorado when I was back there, but me and Norris go out back and shoot some Vegas targets back there after work.
Have you been up to the range, the Las mm-hmm. Vegas Archers?
Yep.
Yeah. I've
been up there a couple times.
It's a little bit out of town, but that's a fun little afternoon if you can get up there and fling arrows. They got the 3Ds, and then they also have like a good field course.
Yeah, it's a cool. I haven't been to like a that many targets at a range before. We had a small one, but that has quite a few targets.
Yeah, they've got, and they're actually pretty active as far as like doing 3D shoots and different scores, scoring shoots. And I see ads for it all the time. If you follow them on Instagram, they're always doing a shoot, it feels like.
Yeah, I went to their meeting with Paul on Monday, and they have some indoor stuff coming up too.
Oh, cool. Like a league?
So, yeah. Well, I think they have a couple tournaments.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've wanted to come down and do those. It always seems like it falls like on a Saturday, and my kids have always got soccer or basketball or something. So it's closer for me to come to Vegas actually than it is to go to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, Salt Lake, that whole area, you have so much, it's like archery centric, right? You got Hoyt and Gold Tip and Easton and, you know, all the different companies, bunch of broadhead companies too, and there's a lot of shooters up there, and it's always like good camaraderie and a good vibe. A lot of people show up and those are fun, but it's like 3.5 hours from me versus 2.5 here.
Yeah.
We'll have to try to do some of them.
Yeah.
If we can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the downfall with being here on Saturdays sometimes is trying to get to some of those shoots, but I'll make it work.
Yeah. So give me some background as far as like your journey into tuning and then how'd you end up at Go Hunt?
So it started just like without the tools, you can only do so much right on your bow, but started diving down the rabbit hole with YouTube and stuff and doing stuff myself. Oddly enough, it seems like a lot of, don't want to knock anybody, but it seems like a lot of shops don't really let you tune your bow.
Mm-hmm.
They don't let you shoot through the paper or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the little things. But then, I got a job at Shields was my, I guess my first job being a bow tech. And
They had a bow tech position open.
Yeah.
And you just applied for it?
Yeah, I just applied for it.
Were you like pretty confident? You felt like pretty confident going into it?
Yeah, pretty confident without like doing it. Obviously doing it and like watching videos are two different things.
For sure.
And you learn so much when you start seeing new bows and I mean, you work on your bow, but once different brands come in and stuff like that, it's a little more difficult, but had some good training. I was lucky enough to go to the Matthews factory a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
I think they only do that for Shills.
Yeah.
I want to say, I think it's okay. I think it's pretty common knowledge
to say that, but
that's all right.
I think that's where I learned the most about like tuning and stuff is just listening to those guys.
Did you have, they do like sit down sessions with like their engineers and stuff?
Yeah. They have like Q&As. They'll go over like just basic tuning. Like last year they went over the limb shift when it came out.
Right.
Top hats before that. The top hats, I think, was what made everything click, because mm-hmm. there's a process to doing it. It's not just, oh, I'm going to flip these, you know, like they have steps along the way. So that's what I see probably the most mistakes on.
That's the category I'm in.
Yeah.
The trial and error.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just going to flip these, shoot it through paper. Oh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Let me try these.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work.
Yeah. You could have your one cam shimmed all the way left
mm-hmm.
and one shimmed right. But yeah, there's just steps to take.
Uh-huh.
With the top hats and shims in general, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I work on my own bows, and then I work on, you know, a few close friends, maybe people that reach out that live close that I'll help out. But yeah, I'm definitely more of the trial and error. I don't do enough of it that I like could go through like the individual steps
right.
and all that.
Yeah.
I know every time I talk to Mark Hayes, so Mark's an engineer over there. I'd call him a friend. I definitely, like, I don't have an engineer's mind. Like, when I talk to somebody like that, I'm like, oh, this is a different thing. Like, you understand this on a different level than I will ever.
Yeah, I just watched his video. It's fun just listening to him.
Yeah, so
talk.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast last year, and I think we had him for probably 45 minutes or an hour. And I think by the end of it, I was like, oh, I have probably another 2 hours worth of questions that I could hit you with.
Right.
Like, yeah, just so interesting to me. I guess that goes to show, like, I'm a real nerd when it comes to bows and arrows and stuff. But
yeah.
I always pick up stuff. So, I mean, even when this bow came out, I think Derek had sent me a photo, just like top limb, you know, the riser configuration, kind of the way it looked. And, like, one of the first things they picked up on was just the way that the person, it was one of the engineers, I don't know who, but the way they tied their D-loop in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'd never thought of that, but that makes total sense. But so I've always just tied like one knot above the bottom of my D-loop. And then what they've done is instead of tying in a top knock set underneath the top portion of the D-loop, they basically put the top knot of the D-loop around the top tied in soft knot,
mm-hmm.
which kind of holds it in place, but doesn't give you like that knock pinch or maybe that weird angle sometimes that you get when you have a bottom and a higher knock set.
Yeah.
It was just like a little thing that I first picked up on. And I remember I looked at it and I was like, I think I texted Derek back and I said, oh yeah, the bow looks cool, but man, what's up with that D-loop? Like, I'd never seen that before, you know?
And
like, that's just like some engineer's mind that was just like, oh, this is probably a better way to do this. But yeah, those guys are interesting to talk to.
Yeah.
What was it like working at Shields as far as like,
it was good. Volume, like,
oh, I can
worked
imagine.
On a ton of bows. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to, cause you know, kind of more of a box store will have certain reputations. So
mm-hmm.
trying to make it more like a archery pro shop,
mm-hmm.
which I think we did accomplish. We had a good,
I think Shields does as good a job as most places that are a box store type, you know, as far as having it, make it feel like more of a, you know, more specific to the hunting industry and having a pro shop.
And they actually give you training, which is really cool too.
Right.
So
how many bows would you work on? Like, was it pretty constant?
Yeah. I mean, some days it was just not take a break every day, all day.
Really?
Yeah. Like bow after bow after bow, especially like leading up to season, the amount of bows you get in is crazy. The amount of string orders, all that. So
what was the ratio, let's say, of like people just bringing in their bow to have it like tuned on or worked on versus like somebody coming in buying a new bow and having it set up?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd be surprised how many people come in right away and just buy the new bow.
Yeah?
There's a lot.
Probably not. I get it.
Yeah, and a lot of people like the same customers year after mm-hmm. year that upgrade, right?
Buy a new bow.
Yeah, which I did too, so.
Gotcha.
I don't really know like a ratio wise, but there was a lot of both.
Uh huh. And was your job, I mean, did you work just straight technician or were you working like floor selling bows and like helping people get set up as well?
Yeah. I mean, depending on like coverage of this, I didn't technically do sales.
Uh-huh.
I was just like the lead bow tech.
Okay.
But I did like all the custom orders, like strings and parts and all that I was in charge of, as well as like merchandising stuff too in the shop.
Yeah.
But like if we were swamped, I would step out and
do sales.
Yeah, do some sales.
What like if somebody's coming in, so now, I mean, and maybe this is a good point to lead into, but you so what is your actual title here now? I only ask cuz I don't actually know what mine is. My business card says research manager and gear guy, yeah. gear expert yeah. is what mine says.
But yeah.
Like basically I'm a podcast host and I do video content, but I don't know what your actual title yeah. is.
I think my business cards is archery shop lead.
Okay.
But I also do like the buying side of things okay. too. So bringing in the product and then running the shop too.
So, I mean, and we're pretty much brand new, right? So like I yeah. walked through the showroom today. It's the first time I've ever seen it. We've got the wall, you know, bows on it are finally on the wall. They're up. You've got the room next door that you've been working on with Norris, getting all the tuning equipment, everything put together, paper tuner, press, draw board, you know, all the stuff that you would need. So we're pretty well getting there to where we're like ready to rip, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is somebody that comes in to buy a new bow, like, is it better that they're prepared in some way? Like,
yeah. Like if they come in to buy a new bow, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people watch the videos and stuff nowadays. A lot of people are set on what they want when they come in, but trying to,
is that a help or a hindrance? Do you feel like?
I think it's more of a hindrance.
Really?
Then they don't want to try everything, right?
Yeah.
So you want to give them a fair shot on everything. They sure. might like a bow more than the other one,
mm-hmm.
but they don't even, like, some people aren't even willing to
consider it.
Yeah, give it a shot. But I mean, that's their call.
Mm-hmm.
But
that happens.
It also helps when they bring like an arrow and a release.
Okay.
If they want to like actually buy the bow, and then you can get it set up and tuned to all their stuff. And
yeah, because that stuff, it all matters on how the bow is going to tune, right?
Yeah.
Like I know this bow, I've got probably 6 or 8 different releases in my pouch. And, you know, they've got different lengths of like the actual shank and the way that you hold or grip the handle in your hand.
Yeah.
Resistance release. I've got hinges. I've got thumb button releases. And depending on the release I shoot, like I can produce different paper tears, like different tunes, right?
Yeah.
Like impact point can change.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I could see that being really helpful if somebody could bring in their own release.
Yeah. Or just shooting an arrow that you're not shooting out of the bow. It's probably not going to.
Yeah, it's not going to perform the same, right? Yeah. Spine can be finicky sometimes. Yeah. What kind of questions do people, like, what's the most common question that somebody comes in with?
Oh, man.
All kinds?
Yeah, all kinds. It depends how into it, like how far into it they are.
Yeah. Right? Let me ask this maybe differently. What do you think is the most important factor for somebody buying a new bow?
Getting one that fits them, right?
And what do you mean by it?
Like draw length, poundage. I mean, you see a lot of people too, like shooting the wrong draw length, shooting either most of the time too much poundage,
mm-hmm.
or they're struggling with it. But yeah, just getting something that fits, you know, like we talked about before, string angles,
mm-hmm.
Shorter bow, longer bow.
Yep.
It also, what kind of hunting you're doing kind of makes a difference, I think, in what you use.
Do you have people come in that like, they say, oh, I've owned a bow. I'm a 29.5-inch draw. And they pull the bow back, and you're like, how's that conversation go?
Ultimately, I leave it up to them. I'll give them my suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be comfortable at the end of the day.
Sure.
So I've had people that I'm like, it looks like an inch too long to me. But he's like, no, it's more comfortable. So.
Do you ever suggest that they try, like, shorter?
Yeah, we'll try it.
Oh, for you sure. will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try it, but that's where I leave it up to them after they try it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give them my suggestions, but whatever's comfortable to them at the end of the day.
Draw length's one of those things that's kind of funny. Is like I've progressed through archery. It felt like at least a number of years ago, it was like people were real hardcore about draw length, mm-hmm. right? Like if you went to Archery Talk and scrolled down through, there was 100, like, is my draw length correct post? And you would see a picture of some dude in his pajamas in his living room, and he'd be drawn back, and then, you know, somebody would, you know, snapshot that picture, and they would take all the time to like diagram it and draw the triangles and everything. And they would say, you know, this is what this should look like. It felt like people were like pretty hardcore about draw length, right? It feels like it's kind of relaxed.
Yeah.
Some, would you say?
Yeah, I think so.
In the last few years,
you'd see those pictures without an arrow.
Oh yeah.
In the bow. And he's just,
Yeah.
I think it's definitely relaxed.
Yeah, and I think it's because you've got, I mean, even myself, you know, I've said, the thing that is the most important, and I think draw length is super important. I would say as far as like the way the bow aims and and hold, like how steady you can hold the bow. I would say a lot of it is your draw length. Yeah. I would say probably what, 80% maybe, and then maybe a little bit on your kind of your stabilizer, the like configuration, the specs of the bow, and then maybe also just like your holding weight, your draw weight.
Yeah.
But it's a huge factor, I would say. But I mean, it all boils down to repeatability. Mm-hmm. Like what you can repeat is going to be the most accurate for you, right? So yeah. If you're a half inch or an inch long, but that holds the steadiest for you, and you can execute a shot, then by all means, run for it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see a lot of these target guys now. I mean, it used to be the case too. You'd see Rio Wild just like leaned way back, right? You see Chris Perkins and some of these guys. It just looks like their draw length, you know, by definition would be too long. But I mean, it's what holds the best,
right?
And aims the best.
Yeah, those target guys seem to get way more in depth with a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
like shooting with their bow out of tune or something. I've heard mm-hmm. stories about that too.
Yeah, maybe one cam advanced slightly. Mm-hmm. Location of your D-loop also. Just moving it up and down, get it to aim.
More so how it holds.
All those little tricks, to try to get it to hold. I've been playing with it a little bit as far as my draw length goes. And what I've noticed is that I'm probably a little short in my draw right now. But what I've noticed, especially over this last summer, it's been really interesting to me, but I notice in shooting like an uphill or a downhill situation, like I'm more steady.
Yeah.
And I think like in a hunting situation that benefits me because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of your shots in Western big game hunting are uphill or downhill, you know, and it feels like my shot is more steady and it breaks a little bit better if I'm a little bit short in it.
Yeah.
I have an easier time getting the arrow to actually break and go off. Yeah. So, as of right now, I'm keeping mine probably a smidge short for what it ought to be, but
yeah.
All those little tips and tricks that you pick up as you dive down the rabbit hole. I think I was telling you the other day, I miss the days where it felt like I just bought a bow got a bow.
Yeah.
And whatever it was, I was like, this is awesome. This is the best bow in the world. I was just like, that whole saying is like, ignorance is bliss, yeah, right?
For sure.
And you had that honeymoon period with the bow, you know, for like the first 2 weeks where you just couldn't miss. Yeah, and that thing might have been 2 inches too long, you know, but you're like, this is the best. I kind of in some ways miss that time frame.
I guess my biggest buck with the bow, I think it was like an inch long on draw length.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking back at it, I'm like, man, but...
But it
worked.
The same.
It worked.
Yeah, I know that stuff. You can get down so many rabbit holes with archery stuff.
Yeah.
Let's dive into like bows. Mm-hmm. So we have the new Arc on the table. This is my Arc. I got it back. I think in the video we did that should be going out if it hasn't gone out yet already, it was just kind of an overview of it, and then end up shooting it through paper and then shot it through Chrono just to see what it would do. But I think in that video I said I got it back in August, but I actually think I got it like September 6th or something like that. So I've had a chance to play with it. I know that for our shop, we're waiting on them. They should be here today.
Should be here today.
I think you said you heard that they were out for delivery.
Yeah, they should be here any minute.
We're going to try to cut you loose so that you can go set one up here and get people a chance to shoot it. Are you Matthews guy?
Yeah, I've typically shot Matthews like the last few years. I mean, on my side of things, like before I was doing what I'm doing now, I kind of mm-hmm. shoot whatever.
Yeah.
I like to have one of everything.
Sure.
Like their values and stuff mm-hmm. really lined up. They're nice people too, so that mm-hmm. doesn't hurt. But their bows are always good too, so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's interesting how many people I talk to that feel that way, right?
Yeah.
Like I think they produce a phenomenal bow. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's a great bow. I think there's all kinds of cool tech involved mm-hmm. in it, and it seems like they're constantly chasing it being like more dead in the hand, which to me is not like a make or break factor.
Yeah.
Some of the best bows I ever shot had a little bit of feedback in mm-hmm. it, you know. But for a hunting situation, it's obviously awesome and to have that dead in the heel or dead in the hand feel, and then also super quiet. But I like the company too. I think mm-hmm. that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I love Matthews.
Yeah.
And like I liked Matthews from all the way back in 2002 to this point. And I've owned other bows from different brands and stuff, but I've always liked, I like their brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always make a, I think it always looks cool. Their product looks cool too, mm-hmm. which helps them, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
They make a good looking product. I also grew up, like I said, Southeast Minnesota.
Yeah,
so
you
I was like a half hour away from like Sparta, so
yeah,
like 45 minutes.
You have to shoot a Matthews.
Yeah, so a lot of places around there carried primarily mm-hmm. Matthews.
Are you kind of a rebel up there in that neck of the woods if you shoot a Hoyt or a bit of an outcast?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it might be.
If you roll into league night with a Hoyt, you're probably a little bit shunned, you know?
But yeah, with bows nowadays and how good all of them are,
mm-hmm.
I see more people branch out.
Yeah. What are you shooting right now?
I currently have a Lift-X 29.5.
Okay.
Working on getting a couple of new bows.
Gotcha. So this year they've got the 34, the Arc 34. They have an Arc 30. Last year they had the Lift-X 33. They also had the 29.5. Mm-hmm. Why did you go with 29.5?
I'm shorter draw length. I think it just fits me.
Mm-hmm.
Fits me better. I've always shot a shorter axle bow too, coming from whitetail hunting. And I don't like carrying around a 34
inch bow.
But after shooting like some of the longer axles, especially like out west,
mm-hmm.
They do hold really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like the shorter bows just don't seem as forgiving sometimes.
Mm. When somebody comes into a shop and they don't really know what they're looking for as far as axle length, like what's that discussion like?
Yeah, I mean, I think again a big part of it is one their draw length. Like,
what do you think the cutoff is?
Man,
is there a cutoff?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, whatever the bow maxes out at.
Like for somebody, like if you're this draw length, maybe look at the short.
Yeah,
axle.
I think once you get to like a 29,
okay,
29-ish, you can start looking at the longer.
Okay,
maybe leaning toward the longer.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my experience with customers. That kind of happens. It seems like the longer draw people kind of lean toward a longer, but mm-hmm. also being out west, if you're doing western hunting, I think it also helps to have that
a little more stability.
Yeah, longer platform.
Do you think they're more stable? Like a longer axle bow?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, Matthews specifically, like if you looked at the riser on a 29.5, how long it is.
Very long.
Like you can compare it to other 34-inch bows,
mm-hmm.
and the riser is longer than like a 34-inch. But I think that's where they get away with some
stability.
Stability, yeah. Because mine, I mean, that 29.5 is a tiny bow, and it holds pretty well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, trying to remember what years. So I've always liked longer axle bows. I've said pretty often that one of my favorite bows was the Halon X, mm-hmm. which is 35 inches axle to axle. I'm actually surprised the number of people I hear, they're like, oh, I hated that Halon X. Like I've heard people say like they hated that bow, right? And I'm like, that was like one of my favorite bows ever. Like that bow just felt like I couldn't miss with it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, thinking back on it at that day and age, maybe it was a bit naive in not considering like other factors like draw length or holding weight or whatever it might be that kind of like yielded itself to the accuracy of that bow.
Yeah.
I just always kind of planted it on like, oh, it's because it was 35 inch axle. That's what made it super accurate. Right. And I've got that maybe burned into the back of my head, but, I can't remember what years it was that they came out with. So it might have been the VXR before they had the V3. The V3.
Yeah.
So the V3, right? And the VXR was a longer one. Am I right? Two different bows.
Yeah. The VXR was. Two different bows. 28.5 and 31.5 for the VXR.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
The V3 was similar, though. I think it was 27, 31.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I remember I got the longer of that one, and I remember thinking like, oh, this is going to be way too short for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be able to shoot this bow. And it took me a minute to, like, grow into that bow, but I remember I shot a TAC event, and I remember shooting with Crispy and Colby Hanley over at Ultraview,
mm-hmm.
and I had one of the best rounds I've ever had in my whole life, like on 3D. And we were just like, you know, group of buddies just shooting like closest to center, right? Like get to point. And I shot phenomenally. And I remember thinking like, oh, maybe I can't shoot a shorter axle bow, you know?
Yeah.
So it's had me thinking. I've always, and like this bow is a 34 inch is what I got this year. Cause I've liked the longer axle bow, but I think one of these years I might get one of the smaller ones and just try it and just see.
I think the thing I struggle with having a shorter draw length is getting the speeds that I kind of want with a longer axle to axle. I just have to pile more draw weight on it.
Yeah. So. What are you shooting for draw weight?
I shoot 75 right now.
Okay. Does it feel pretty comfy?
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to it.
Okay.
I've shot it the last few years, so it is a little more. I mean, I'd prefer to shoot 70, but I like where my setup is.
Your specs.
Yeah.
You like a little bit of foot per second, maybe some kinetic energy. What do you tell people as far as draw weight?
I mean, again, a lot of people come in with their mind made up on what they want to pull.
80?
Yeah, it seems like...
Really?
It seems like we're on a heavier trend. A lot of people come in for like 75, 80s. But I think it's, again, people that are more like down the rabbit hole kind of lean that way. But ultimately, I want them to be comfortable. I don't want them to shoot 5 times and not be able to pull their bow back or be in the situation where you can't drop back on an animal.
Yeah, when you get cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always shot, I hunted for a while with 60. So I hunted for a long time with 70. And then at some point I was like, 60 feels pretty comfortable. And I think it'd probably be lethal on an elk. And it turned out to be. And then at some point I was like, the improvements and just like the way they drew, it didn't feel like quite as much, you know, to draw 70. So I went back to 70. I've never made the jump to 75 or 80 though, but I have been considering lately. So that's funny that you said that. Lately I have been looking at the wall of mods in that room and kind of eyeballing the 75 pounder and think, maybe I give it a rip.
Yeah. I will say I put 80s on for like 5 seconds.
Oh, you did?
And I took them off and it was just too much. I didn't want to shoot that over and over again.
Lorenzo's bow has got 80 pound mods on it, and I remember when he ordered it and got it in and we went to tuning it, in the back of my mind I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to like draw this thing and shoot it too many times through paper to like get this thing tuned out and work with him on it. But I was actually really surprised how easy it was to draw 80. I was kind of surprised. And for a split second, I was like, maybe I could do 80. But then I thought, as many arrows as I shoot, I don't know that 80 is going to be conducive to my shoulder over the years.
Yeah. Even 75 too. I mean, if you want to shoot a ton of arrows, like I go back there now and I don't have any tags left this year. So I'm just shooting paper and I'm shooting 75 pounds and I'm like, I should bump this down.
Yeah, you shoot 30 arrows at paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're trying to stay in your peep and pin on the dot and execute a shot. It can be a little much.
Yeah.
Can you tell if people are overbowed?
Yeah, a lot of people do the point to the sky and
sky draw.
Just pull as hard as they can.
Yeah. I mean, with 70.
Yeah, right.
I will say, I think that's a myth.
Yeah.
Like, I think I will pretty adamantly say there's been some guys in our space for a few years that are like, and maybe this sound advice, they're probably better shooters than me, but it's okay. I'm going to call them out, right?
Yeah.
But put the pin on the target, draw the bow, right? Like level, which I think sure makes sense for a hunting situation, but I actually think you get more better alignment with like a little bit of up tilt in your bow.
Yeah, bringing the bow up a little. Yeah. I think this being more exaggerated.
Like clear
you can,
to
you can tell when they're struggling to get it back. If they're like halfway in there.
Does it hurt their pride if you're like, hey.
Yeah, you got to tread lightly on a lot of this stuff. You're like, hey, maybe try 65s for now and work your way up.
Grow into a 70 or a 75. That's one nice thing about these bows. Do you like this about the arc? Or the switchback? The lift? Yeah, the switch weight mods?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so adjustable for people. Like you have to swap out limbs for pounds, which is cool.
When's the last time you turned limb bolts out on a bow?
It's a good question.
I haven't done it since they've gone to the switch weight mods.
On my personal bow, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's really handy to be honest. Like originally when they first came out with it, I thought, more parts to get, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the logic in it makes sense, and it is really nice to just be able to swap out the mods.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the, it feels relatively the same, and you know, you can switch your draw weight by doing that and leave your limb cups completely turned in, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. And it, and more shooters can fit into the bow too. So if you got like a younger kid that wants to upgrade to something higher end, then you can kind of grow with it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. Nice having the adjustability.
Yeah, the bows that I've had over the years, I've given a few of them away to my brothers, and that's always been really handy because like I can just switch out the mods to their draw length and their draw weight. I mean, I was shooting 70. One of my brothers wanted to go to like 55 or 60 just to get started. He's a shorter guy with shorter draw length than mine, so that was really super handy. So the ARC's got the switch weight X mods. It does have a new cam, which has got this perimeter weighted cam, which is kind of something that they had back in the day. It looks like they've gone back to it. You haven't actually shot these bows yet, have you?
I haven't.
I'll be interested to hear like what your take is on them when you when you get them. Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I think it holds really, really well. And I don't know if it's just the combination of the riser, like the, being stiffer. It's obviously got the wider portion at the top of it. The axle to axle's longer, obviously, so 34 inches versus 33 from last year. To me, it feels just like a little bit more stable.
Yeah. Do you think the... When I watched a video this morning of Mark talking about the bows, and he was talking about like the pass parallel on the limbs where they ease that up a little more so it's more parallel, just holding wise with those.
I haven't watched that yet. I'll have to watch it, but mostly everything that I will say is just from like feel, like setting it up and shooting it in comparison. I've got my Lift X actually in the truck. I just take it as a backup bow. When I first got it, I would say for like the first 2 or 3 days, I was just going back and forth between it and my Lift X because I was getting ready to leave on an elk hunt, you know? And I'm like, if I can't feel really confident, like in the new platform, like I'm just going to take my Lift X. And going back and forth between the two and just kind of fill them out. And I shot the Lift X really well. Like, I love that bow. But to me, it does feel like it's just a little bit more stable. It just feels like it's a little bit easier to get the pin in the middle and keep it parked there versus the Lift X. So I do think it's stable. And I don't know if it's just like a combination of the axle to axle, maybe the limb geometry.
Yeah.
Kind of the way that sits. Combination of both, I would assume. But it does aim really, really nice. We did some testing. So one of the things I was really surprised about is usually a longer axle-axle bow, you lose some foot per second, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like historically. I was like really pleasantly surprised to see how quick it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited to get my hands on and chrono a few arrows.
Yeah, I will be too. So I've only chronoed, so the arrows that I've got, I'm going elk hunting with, those are 491 grains. It's a 250 spine, gold tip platinum pierce, 75 grains up front in the insert, 100 grain field tip or broadhead. My draw length on this, we kind of measured it out. I think I'm like 30 1/4, I want to say. And draw weight, I'm like 70.4 pounds, so pretty much right at 70. And it's spitting that 490 grain arrow out at about 286.
Yeah.
Which is pretty damn
pretty good.
Fast. I feel like that's pretty quick for almost a 500 grain arrow.
Yeah. I struggle to, I have a shorter draw length, but I shoot usually around 450 for arrow weight. But with 75 pound mods, I usually fall in the high 280s.
Okay. So that's kind of what I always kind of aim for, right?
And that's with a shorter bow too. So yeah, that's really good out of the.
Yeah. For 34. A bow that's that long, that stable. I think it's a 6.5 inch brace height to be spitting a 490 grain arrow out at 286. I feel like really good about.
Yeah.
Feels like it's going to pack a hell of a punch.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get to find out here in the next week or so, right? blow one through an elk would be great.
Yeah.
So the Silent Connect system, they've integrated that into the riser, so that's new for it. That one's probably not that big a deal to me, but I think for your whitetail hunters, your tree stand hunters, that's probably a huge deal.
Yeah,
I could see how that would be really handy. Yeah.
And the other, just a more annoying part of working on them, when you have the Silent Connect system, it was almost like you'd have to top it off sometime with some of the vices that you try to put the bow in, because otherwise it would hit.
Right. So that's going to be an improvement for you.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. So you worked at Shields. You guys sold Matthews bows. Obviously, we're a Matthews dealer here now at Go Hunt. Do you like working on Matthews bows?
That seemed to be popular in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably our highest selling bow was Matthews. So I got to work on a lot of them and felt like I got pretty good at it.
Do you like the direction they're moving as far as tunability?
Yeah, I guess the only thing that other bows have is that, like, a timing feature. But yeah, having just makes life easier too, not having to go in and do top hats.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so quick, just moving the limb shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, top hats were nice. I thought they were great. Mm-hmm. They were always a little bit of a pain in the fact that you had to get a top hat kit.
Yeah.
So yeah, those different sizes of spacers, and then you had to have a press, right?
Yeah.
And once you got them set and you got the bow tuned, it was great. Like, they stayed put, felt really good. I would imagine as a shop manager, these have to be like a bit of a dream, right?
That's really nice. Especially if you're tuning to a customer or someone else shooting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah. What's your process of getting somebody set up? So I would assume that you pop your accessories on, right? You get your D-loop tied, you know, your knock set. Do you start them with paper tuning?
Yeah, I'll have them shoot it first, I guess, beforehand, make sure everything feels okay.
Like draw length.
Yeah, draw length, weight. All that stuff, yeah. Get all the accessories on, make sure everything's the way it's going to be when he or she is using it.
Including sight stabilizers,
everything before I go into tuning. But depending, like, a break-in period on a string, right? After they get a bunch of shots on it, I'm still going to have them come back in, and then we're going to shoot it through paper again.
Oh, really?
Just to confirm it.
So you don't just, like, do one and done?
Yeah.
You always like to do a follow-up with them?
Mm-hmm. I've had, whether or not it's the strings or just something settling on the bow, I've had mine change after, like, the first few hundred shots, right? And then I'd go run it through paper and it'd be different, make an adjustment. From there, it seems to hold pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's making sure they're fitted right, and then, yeah, getting all the accessories and stuff on it, run it through paper.
Yeah. I'm always interested in, just intrigued, I guess, about how your tune can change based on how much weight you have on a front bar or back bar, the angle of your back bar, whether it's tilted down or to the side, all that can impact. And then, like, even, you know, your grip, right? So you might go home with a Matthews and gauge grip, which is the grip's going to come on the bow. You might shoot it a little while and think, this is okay, but I really want to try side plates, right? Mm-hmm. Or I want to shoot just directly off the riser with some tennis racket tape or something. Even your grip changes a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And you can manipulate a paper tear super easy just on your grip. And yeah, so it makes sense to me that is that, like, going to be, like, customary for us here? As far as, like, somebody comes in and buys a bow, you're going to, like, get them set up and tune it, and then...
Yep.
Is it like a mandatory thing? Like, hey, you got to come back.
Yeah. I mean, we're making out, like, little cards too, to, like, as a reminder. We'll put your specs and everything. Because a lot of people, like, in my experience, come back and they're like, I don't know my arrow length. I don't know my arrow spine. Like, so just having a little card where they can reference and be like, oh, this is what I got set up with.
Right.
And not everyone uses it, but just a good reminder, and put something on there like, hey, come back after a few hundred shots and we'll fine tune it.
Retune. Yeah. I mean, we talked a little bit about this, limb shift tech, but maybe run me through how it works.
Yeah. It's really nice. It has the windows on the top and the bottom, right? So you pop out that screw on the right side, which I think it has a little lock and an arrow pointing toward it. Mm-hmm. So you don't take out the wrong axle screw. And then 5/32 Allen wrench.
Oh, man, you even know the size.
Yeah, just...
You don't just have, just like, a drawer full of loose Allen wrenches that you pick through randomly and, like, stick it. Nope, not that one. Next one. That's what I do.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say how easy it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice.
You basically just stick it in and turn it, right? Yeah. And if you get a left hair, you turn it left.
Yeah, and chase your tail. Uh-huh. Chase your tail with it. And depending on, like, I kind of treat it more as like a top hat where, say, my cam was shimmed right on top, left on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had a tail left hair, I'm going to take the top cam that's further right and bring it left.
Okay.
Versus moving the bottom one further left.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of still do that by looking at those little windows. And I know it's not the cam now, it's the limb.
Mm-hmm.
But I still try to, that makes sense in my brain how to mm-hmm. do it. So that's what I do it as. If it's tail left, I'll take the one that's further right and adjust that one left.
Okay. That's how you attack it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you end up with, just maybe from the top of your head, and if you don't know, do you end up with your indicator marks pretty much the same, or do you end up with those slightly different when you feel like you get a good tune on your bow?
Mine end up pretty much the same.
Yeah. Mine have.
If I do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine have as well.
Yeah. And I'll work that way too. Like that's mm-hmm. what I just explained. Like even for like a customer coming in, a lot of the times they might not end up in the middle, but they'll end up like similar.
Right.
If I go through the processes.
On the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing's really handy about the limb shift is that you can micro mm-hmm. tune tear. Yeah. Like, right. So like when I was tuning this one to these gold tip arrows, these 250s that I've got, shot one through paper and I was like, yeah, that one looks good. But then I thought, I'm going to go through and like strip off the veins because I need to refletch them anyway. So I'm going to strip these off and I'm going to shoot bare shafts and basically noctune each mm-hmm. individual arrow. And then I'm going to mark the spine on, you know, the arrow with a Sharpie. And then I'm going to fletch to that orientation. Then I'm going to go back through and shoot each one fletched, right? Just to double check it. And, as I was doing that process, bare shaft, like, going from the fletch shaft to the bare shaft, and I was doing it from anywhere. This took me like 2 days to do, but when I was going from the first initial, like I was like, oh, that one looks like a clean tear, right? With the veins. And then I started going bare shaft. And as I was noctuning, you know, shooting through paper, I was getting like consistent, like, I mean, ever so slight, I mean like tiny directional tear, you know, that like you could barely see. And as I would work back, I would just basically use that limb shift and I would give it like little tiny tweaks to the point where I had each individual arrow indexed and I was shooting a clean hole through paper with each at each distance as I went back. And I mean, it took me all day, but man, it breeds such confidence.
Yeah,
you just feel so good about your bow set up that way. Cause you're like, every arrow is definitely coming out of the bow exactly like I want it to, you know? But I do love the fact that with that limb shift, like you can really micro adjust your left and rights.
Yeah. I think it's, I've never had a paper tear from someone that I couldn't
work out. Mm-hmm.
Obviously I try to coach a little too, but mm-hmm. I mean, if there's a gnarly tear, which I've had with these and
mm-hmm.
everything's really good.
It is. It's oddly satisfying, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That, you know, you can start with a paper tear, whatever direction, and kind of work that out. And when you get that perfect bullet hole, mm-hmm. it's just like a nice, clean tear through paper. Super satisfying.
Yeah. Like you said, I don't, like from a customer like standpoint, mm-hmm. there's no better way to give them confidence than seeing that and walking out.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet if you're like, hey, the end goal is this, I bet when they see that through paper, it's like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your own tuning process? Do you just do paper? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I start with paper. I haven't really dove into like bare shaft tuning. I know we had a conversation mm-hmm. on that. I haven't dove into that yet. Honestly, I feel like half the time I do customer bows more than
my
personal
own.
Bow. But broadhead tuning, obviously, I'll go out and make sure my broadheads are flying good.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, like I shoot an expandable head.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I don't have much, if any, adjustment.
Yeah.
As long as, like, going through a deep, like, paper mm-hmm. tune like you just talked about, yeah, I haven't had many issues.
Yeah.
If I do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Bare shaft tuning's one of those, like, weird ones, right? So you have people in the camp of, like, paper tuning. You just paper mm-hmm. tune your arrows with fletching. You know, some people will paper tune every arrow. I do. I think it's I think you should do it.
Yeah. Just so at least before hunting.
Yeah, before hunting. Yeah. Yeah, at least so you can like index your NOx, right? Yeah. And get an indication. I like to do that. I think it's advantageous just because you know that that arrow's coming out of the exact same way as the, you know, your number one arrow, right?
Yeah.
I like to do that. And then a lot of people just skip straight to broadhead tuning. And I do that too sometimes, right? Yeah. But bear shaft tuning, like, you know, whether it's shooting bear shaft through paper or actually going out to the range and shooting a, you know, bear shaft out to like 30, 40 yards mm-hmm. to look at the impact point and then kind of the orientation of your arrow in relation to your flat shafts.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll do it if I just like, I'm feeling really nerdy mm-hmm. and I'm like, I really want to do that, you know, but ultimately like, I feel like if I get a good solid paper tear and my arrows are indexed, I can shoot an expandable head out to, you know, further than I'm accurate at and they hit pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to have you on sometime where we just like could do a real deep dive into like real archery nerd stuff.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I should say when we hired Cody, I think how many interviews did you go through?
I had a lot of interviews and it was like,
what was it like?
It was like in a 2-week span too. So it was just like one after another. It was good. I mean, our interview went, man, that was
long.
But it was mostly just nerding out on bows, so yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. How many, you'd had like two or three, I think, prior to me, right?
I think I had probably, I don't remember the exact number. I'd be 4 or 5 total,
mm-hmm.
maybe even 6.
No way.
I had a couple with Scott.
That's pretty strenuous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott hit me up and he's like, hey, we have this guy. I think he's going to be the guy. I think he's really good, but we just, you know, mind jumping on, spending some time with him. And I was like, yeah, I can grill him with all kinds of questions, which is what I did. I think I spent an hour and a half just like asking you tuning questions. Like, what would you do here? What would you do there?
Yeah,
man, you're really gracious to answer all my questions. But yeah, ultimately we just ended up nerding out about bows. But at the end of it, I remember talking to Scott and I was just like, yeah, that guy's a bow tech. Like through and through, this dude's a bow technician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what we need here.
Yeah.
You pretty excited about it?
Yeah, really excited. Excited to get going. It's nice having the bows.
Yeah.
Well, in soon. Getting it up and going. It's went by, like you said, so fast since I've got here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's exciting to see everything come together.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels exciting to me. You know, mm-hmm. like for somebody that really genuinely just loves archery, I'm excited about it. You know, I remember at one point Scott was like, what would it take to get you to move to Vegas, like work in the bow shop? And I was like, how much money you got? You know? It's going to take a lot to get me to move to Vegas. But yeah. I'm like really super stoked. I'm excited to just have bows around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like have the shop and the equipment. And I'm actually just genuinely excited to have somebody to nerd out with bows. Yeah. Like if I can't figure something out or I have a question,
right.
I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to call Cody. Yeah, you know, we can kick this down the road and see what we can come up with.
It's a nice thing to have people to bounce. Mm-hmm. Like if you can't figure something out, be like, hey, take a look at this. And it could be something simple and you're just not seeing it.
Yeah. It's fun to have people that are just like really passionate about it, you know? So I'm excited too.
Yeah.
So we're open. What are our hours?
So, I mean, the showroom's open Mondays. I won't be here Mondays. So mm-hmm. as far as like bow service goes, if you need bow service on a Monday, no one's going to be here for that. But if you want to come in and buy stuff like mm-hmm. a bow or accessories and just wait for me to, I work Tuesday to Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday, I think our hours right now are 8 to 4. We changed them. So we're open a little earlier.
Okay.
And then Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 6.
Okay.
So
most of the week minus Monday.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Did you say it's Sunday?
No. Not Sunday. Sunday. Yes. Gotcha. Closed Sunday. Yeah.
Gotcha. So Tuesday through Saturday.
Yeah. Tuesday through Saturday.
Right on. Yeah. We've got bows on the wall. Hopefully get some people in today that want to shoot some new bows.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're ordering some pizza in. So.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Oh, I came on the right day then.
Get some people to come in and test them out.
I'd embarrass myself if I said how many days I've eaten pizza in the last week. I'm carb loading for the hunt.
That's
what I'm doing. Yeah. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. Anything else you want to touch on as far as bows and arrows? And
just excited to get going.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to do a deep dive on tuning. There's mm-hmm. a lot of stuff with arrow spine that.
For sure.
Like paper tuning and arrow spine.
Yes.
There's so much stuff that you can dive down.
Yeah. I mean, we recently had one we worked through. Yeah. It really is. There's so many details in our tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Today, basically, I just wanted to get you on to basically kind of talk about the new bow, obviously, kind of highlight it. You know, I think you guys should come check it out. Shoot a 30 or 34, even a Lift X. I saw that we've got some of those out on the wall. Like I said, I absolutely love that bow. So yeah, come in and shoot one. I'm always stoked when Matthews launches a new bow, and I'm actually stoked when any bow. I love looking at the new bows in general. So like new Hoyts are out there on the wall. What is it, the RX-10?
RX-10 and Alpha AX-3s.
AX-3. Yeah. Yeah. Both of those are on the wall. So that was fun to just put those in my hand and give them a play. What other bows? So Matthews, Hoyt.
Yeah. We brought in Darton too.
Okay.
They're not here yet.
Okay.
Just cause we were a little late to the party, but they'll be here soon.
The Tri-Tech?
Tri-Tech, yeah, 31, 33, 35.
All three.
Yep. They, I'm excited for those too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some good features.
It's cool to see all the different bow companies moving towards the like individual tunability.
Yeah.
And the ability for someone to like get their preference, right? Yeah. So Matthews, you've got the switch weight mods. You can pick between 85 or 80% let off. If you like a little bit more let off, great. If you like, I like a little bit more holding weight. It just feels like there's more to pull into in the back wall.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Switch or the, you know, the limb shift, obviously really tunable. You look at a Darton, you've got the ability to adjust your cam sync.
Yeah.
With those, that little system that they've got built into it. The Hoyts, I haven't dove into them that much, but their limb cup on the new bows look crazy.
Yeah.
It looks like it's got screws everywhere.
Yeah. I haven't tinkered with it yet, but I'm excited too.
Yeah. As I was driving down today, I was looking at it on Instagram and I was like, man, that limb cup is just full of screws. It's got tops and sides. Yeah. And, their press release basically said that you can tune your left, right, and your vertical tear.
Yeah.
And the claim there is that your impact point won't change, which I think is interesting.
Right.
I'd like to see that on a video. Yeah. We should do a video about that.
We definitely should.
Oh, I want to see if that holds true. Because in my mind, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Right. But I would like to see it in real life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, it's cool to see all the technology. And then I like some of the companies that are doing, you know, your ability to maybe even adjust your draw length in like quarter inch increments, which is really, really kind of cool. I'm a guy that kind of lands, I feel like a little bit most comfortably in between two different draw lengths, in between maybe like a 30 and a 30 and a half. So I've got to do some finagling with my cables and my string, to kind of get that to sit just perfect. And it's not a big deal. You got to have a little bit of tinkering and some knowledge, or you just come to a pro shop like yourself and say, hey, this is how this feels. What can we do to get it kind of adjusted for me? But, it is cool to see just the personal input that you can put into your own bow now to really get that thing to maximize its potential.
Let people at home, which that's the way I started, so it's cool that they do that now. You can tinker a little more at home.
I think it makes it easier too for people to get into bow hunting, like and I mean you can come into a pro shop. Let me ask you, actually, so like somebody that's never really shot a bow, they come into a shop, like how long do you think you can have them shooting pretty decent groups at 20 yards?
It probably, once you figure out like draw length and poundage they can pull, it wouldn't take very
like
long.
An hour, right?
Yeah, wouldn't take very long.
Isn't
that
crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. Figuring out the weight is usually the tricky part. Nobody's made a tool, which is kind of crazy that you can adjust draw weight and just draw it. But once you figure that out, it's pretty quick. You can be shooting in no time.
Yeah. With like relatively just some light coaching, right? Yeah, I think it's cool that bows are being made that people can adapt and get into archery and like see some accuracy and see some success relatively quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to my brother on the way down. So my brother closest to me, Tracy, he ended up shooting a buck last night. He's like brand new to bow hunting. Like I think this is his first full year bow hunting.
Nice.
And he's in his 50s. So like, and I think he hasn't shot at an animal, he was saying, since he was like 18, maybe.
Wow.
So yeah, he killed a great mule deer buck last night and, ended up calling me this morning and, you know, sent me some photos and stuff. And just like that new, I was like, man, we got one. We got another one. So excited, you know what I mean? And my other brother, my oldest brother, went with him to like get it recovered and help him take care of it and everything. And, you know, he's got one of my older bows, and he's bow hunted a little. Actually, the biggest bull that anybody's killed in my family, he shot. It's the only, he killed a 379. Killed a bull on the beaver. I can't remember how many years ago. It's been probably 15 or 20 at this point. But you could also tell, like, in the back of his head as I was talking to him today, I was like, yeah, he's getting the bug again. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think bow hunting and then just shooting a bow in general is, like, so good for people. So it's fun to see more opportunities for people to get accurate and get into bow hunting.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's fun.
Well, I'm gonna cut you loose. We're an hour and 10 minutes in, but we got to get you. You're going to actually go receive some bows and get them set up. Yep. Hopefully you got a line out the door for people to shoot.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. We'll have you on in the future, and we'll do... Probably my podcast would be a better fit.
Where
I can really nerd out.
Right.
I was going to say, if we had Lorenzo and Brady sitting here at the table, Lorenzo would probably be into it, but Brady would probably check out. He'd be like checking emails and sending text messages. Yeah, he'd just be like, I'm over it. I say that tongue in cheek, but I'd probably have you on the game trail just to really do deep dives on like some tuning things and stability and all the nerd stuff.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So... Cool. Thanks, Cody. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we'll close out. Come down to the shop. Shoot new bows. Buy a new bow. Come hang out with Cody. He'll get you lined up.
Yeah, test them out.
All right, thanks.